Blog Talk Radio.
It's your man Dwayne Abernathy, and you listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com live broadcast February the 12th, 2014, from the Eistover, Atlanta, Georgia. Trust and believe, it is not hot Atlanta tonight. It is currently, what's the weather here tonight? It's like mad cold outside. The city's covered with ice. You guys have been watching the news today. As you know, Atlanta is covered with ice, major ice storm today, and it's going to continue to tomorrow. So, this is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and I'm here to keep you warm tonight. It's actually 30 degrees outside in Atlanta right now with freezing rain and snow. Special, special broadcast moving forward here on a Wednesday night. I am filling in tonight because Miss Nicole is actually sick with the flu. She's out with the flu. So all you listeners out there, please wish Miss Nicole a healthy return. So that's why you got your man Dwayne tonight here on Moving Forward. Special, special broadcast. And tonight's a special broadcast because if you guys heard my show on Sunday night, I pretty much talked about the history of hip-hop on Sunday. And so tonight, let's fast forward to now, 2014, and we're going to talk about the death of Jordan Davis because of hip-hop music, because of hip-hop. And we're going to talk about this his murderer, the guy who killed him, Michael Dunn. If you guys have not been keeping up with the news, Michael Dunn trial has been going on. Well, actually, let me slow down. If you guys are not familiar with the case, tonight we're actually going to talk about the shooting death of a young black brother, actually out of Marietta, Georgia. He was down in Jacksonville, Florida, visiting, and he was shot dead by a white man by the name of Michael Dunn because they got into an argument over his music being too loud in a truck. He was hanging out with him and three of his buddies, and this white man decides he wants to walk up and police the whole situation and tell them to turn their music down in the SUV. And then since they got into an argument because they didn't turn their music down, he decides he wants to take out his gun and pump 10 bullets into a SUV full of unarmed black males. What in the hell is that all about? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the trial of this, I'm not even going to call him a man, this coward by the name of Michael Dunn. So I'm going to take a break and I get back for a second. Tonight's show is only an hour long. I'm just filling in the cold slot tonight. So I got a lot to talk about tonight. So this is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. I will be back in a minute. Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
It was an emotional day in court as jurors saw autopsy photos and the bloodstained clothes worn by 17-year-old Jordan Davis the night he was shot and died. The prosecution's final witness, a former associate medical examiner who detailed the path of the bullet that killed the teenager in November of 2012.
Over here, it perforated the right lung and continued on behind the heart and in front of the spinal column to perforate the aorta.
Prosecutors say 47-year-old Michael Dunn opened fire on Davis and three friends during an argument over loud music outside this Jacksonville gas station. Dunn claims he fired the shots in self-defense, telling police he thought he saw a gun. Investigators did not find a gun in the teen's SUV.
Yes, I am.
In her testimony, the medical examiner said evidence shows Davis was leaning away from the door and not toward Dunn, as the defense suggests, during the shooting. Jordan's father, Ronald Davis, told the jury about the emotional visit he got from the teens who were with his son when he died.
The boys were just so sorry that my son was killed, and they were trying to console me.
Dunn's family and friends took the stand for the defense, describing the software developer as a mild and kind-hearted man.
Are you aware of Mr. Dunn's reputation for peacefulness?
Yes, very nice guy.
Never have I observed anything other than a very calm demeanor.
I've always thought he was a gentleman.
It's unclear if Dunn himself will take the stand. An attorney representing the Davis family believes he will testify.
He's the only one that can testify that there was a gun. He's got to put it there. And the only one that can put it there, the only one that says he saw it is Michael Dunn.
Warning, warning, warning. Warning. There is an emergency warning. Right now, there is an all-out assault on murdering young black men in this country. Warning, warning, warning. That is some ish. Okay. Michael Dunn story. Typically, this is pretty much what happened. When I was a teenager once, but this is pretty much how it went down. My man pulls up to a convenience store. Little four young brothers in the truck, they bumping their music. Okay. White guy pull up thinking he's the man. he's going to decide to take it upon himself to police the kids. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been times where I went to young brothers or whatever, and they, you know, acting a little out of hand, where I'm like thinking to myself, hack courtesy. No one really wants to hear your music, especially if they playing the explicit version of certain songs. Okay? So, sometimes I have come to young brothers like, hey, man, can you turn it down a little bit, you know, got my wife and kids in the car, you know, whatever. A lot of times, they turn it down. You know, every now and then you're going to run into some knuckleheads. But I can guarantee you, this is how it went down. Your boy Michael Dunn pulls up. Here's the music. He looks over to his girlfriend and is in the car with his fiance. I don't think she's going to be his fiance no more. She threw him under the bus. But anyway, he goes, I hate that damn loud ass thug music. I'm going to tell them to go turn that ish down. So he gets out like Billy Badass, like he's a cop or something. He walked right up there and totally disrespected. You know how you guys get out there sometimes. You know exactly how y'all get a little cocky, thinking y'all running something. And he went up on those young brothers like, turn that ish down or whatever. You know, and they said in the testimony that the brothers did turn the music down at first. But then they realized, like, who the hell are you? I mean, I almost cussed online. You know, I was about to say to start with an F. Like, who the hell are you to come and tell us what to do? You know what I'm saying? So that's like, yo, turn that music back up. You know? So then your boy going to get, you know, he gets rowdy or whatever. So, you know, of course, the argument probably went down. There's nothing wrong with those young brothers standing up for themselves. So Jordan Davis, you know, they already said he has some explicit words. You probably tell him to go F off or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. Because, one, he should have minded his own damn business, Mr. Michael Dunn, okay? So then it got a little escalated or whatever. So he think, you know, he can just go around and just kill. Well, a lot of you white folks out there think you can just go around and just kill black kids thanks to punk-ass George Zimmerman. But anyway, so I ain't going to say punk-ass George Zimmerman. Punk-ass George Zimmerman and the state of Florida. And all them punks on that jury. Yeah, I call them all punks. But anyway, so then he decides he going to pull out a gun and bust 10 shots into a car. 10. Not one, not two, but 10. Pow, 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 pow. Sprayed the car. So he had an intention of killing those teenagers. You know, and unfortunately, young Jordan Davis lost his life because of this coward-ass itch. No, what they call him, Mitches. This dude is a straight Mitch. Yeah, so, but this is the crazy part. If you don't know the story, I'm here to fill you in. So then, he jumps in the car. So if he felt so threatened or whatever, why didn't you wait around? Why didn't you call the police? You know what I'm saying? He jumps in the car, goes to the hotel, order a pizza, watch a movie, and goes to sleep. That's not the actions of an innocent man. That's the action of an arrogant white man running around in South Florida, in Florida, not Southern Florida, but in Florida, thinking he can do the hell he wants to do because, one, he thinks he's privileged, because a lot of them think they're privileged, and two, because of the stand your ground law, he thinks he's going to hide behind the freaking self-defense law. So when those boys get you, when you get prosecuted, because you going to jail, bruh, you going to jail. So when you sit up in jail, I want to hear you cry self-defense while them boys is getting at you in the pen. I'm going to take a break because I done got geeked up talking about this madness. I had to take a break. And then I get back, we'll get more into the trial because your boy is on trial right now. I think the closing arguments was today, and it's up to the jury. And when we get back, I'm going to tell you guys the dynamic of the jury if you've not been keeping up with this story. Also, I got to let everybody know, if you're in the ATL, I hope you're somewhere nice and warm, and I hope you got power because I'm telling you, today has been a hell of a day. We lost power here earlier today. We was out of power for like about 4 hours. and we got it back. So I hope we, you know, keep it for the rest of the night. But this your man, Dwayne Abernathy, listening moving forward here on YazzaRadio.com, and I'll be back in a second. And tonight we are talking about the death of Jordan Davis, a special report of moving forward here on YazzaRadio.com. Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
It was an emotional day in court as jurors saw autopsy photos and the bloodstained clothes worn by 17-year-old Jordan Davis the night he was shot and died. The prosecution's final witness, a former associate medical examiner who detailed the path of the bullet that killed the teenager in November of 2012.
Over here, it perforated the right lung and continued on behind the heart and in front of the spinal column to perforate the aorta.
Prosecutors say 47-year-old Michael Dunn opened fire on Davis and three friends during an argument over loud music outside this Jacksonville gas station. Dunn claims he fired the shots in self-defense, telling police he thought he saw
what's
a
up,
gun.
What's up?
Investigators did
Dwayne
not find a gun in the teen's SUV.
Yes, I am.
In her testimony, the medical examiner said evidence shows Davis was leaning away from the door and not toward Dunn, as the defense suggests,
like
during the shooting. Jordan's father, Ronald Davis, told the jury about the emotional visit he got from the teens who were with his son when he died.
The boys were just so sorry that my son was killed, and they were trying to console me.
Dunn's family and friends took the stand for the defense, describing the software developer as a mild and kind-hearted man.
Are you aware of Mr. Dunn's reputation for peacefulness?
Yes, very nice guy.
Never have I observed anything other than a very calm demeanor.
I've always thought he was a gentleman.
It's unclear if Dunn himself will take the stand. An attorney representing the Davis family believes he will testify.
He's the only one that can testify that there was a gun. He's got to put it there, and the only one that can put it there, the only one that says he saw it is Michael Dunn.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. Man, I am so tired of stories like this, man. This is like Trayvon Martin all over again. It's like, what's going on in Florida? I mean, they just going around just open season killing young black men? What is that all about? I just be like, when I heard about this story, and I was thinking to myself, and it's so crazy, I said the same thing about the Trayvon Martin case. When I first heard it, I was like, done deal, open and shut case. Okay? Trayvon Martin situation went down. Of course, we all know what happened. George Zimmerman gets away with, you know, cold-blooded murder of a young black brother. Okay? We fast forward. Same situation happens in Florida again with Jordan Davis. Another young brother hanging out with his friend, but this time this guy decided he wanted to go for the jackpot. He really tried to take out four young brothers. He tried to take out four. Just like, how does that work? You know? Over an argument claiming he saw a gun. But unfortunately, you know, young Jordan Davis lost his life. And I played that clip again because I just want you guys to hear the story of, you know, how it all went down. It's like, it just doesn't make sense. I'm going to play another clip. I just want you guys to just hear the audacity of this guy, you know. And the thing about it is, as an attorney, how could the attorney decide to take on a case like that? I want to try to find this clip, man, with the dude actually shooting, if you can hear the gun clip, the gunshots. I'm going to play this clip right now. I hope this is the right clip right here. So I'll be back in a second. Check out this clip. I just want you guys to understand the importance of this trial.
It was an emotional day in court as jurors saw autopsy photos and the bloodstained clothes worn by 17-year-old Jordan Davis. It was an emotional day in court as jurors saw autopsy photos and the bloodstained clothes worn by 17-year-old Jordan Davis the night he was shot and died. The prosecution's final witness, a former associate medical examiner who detailed the path of the bullet that killed the teenager in November of 2012.
Over here, it perforated the right lung and continued on behind the heart and in front of the spinal column to perforate the aorta.
Prosecutors say 47-year-old Michael Dunn opened fire on Davis and three friends during an argument over loud music outside this Jacksonville gas station. Dunn claims he fired the shots in self-defense, telling police he thought he saw a gun. Investigators did not find a gun in the teen's SUV.
Yes, I am.
In her testimony, the medical examiner said evidence shows Davis was leaning away from the door and not toward Dunn, as the defense suggests, during the shooting. Jordan's father, Ronald Davis, told the jury about the emotional visit he got from the teens who were with his son when he died.
The boys were just so sorry that my son was killed, and they were trying to console me.
Dunn's family and friends took the stand for the defense, describing the software developer as a mild and kind-hearted man.
Are you aware of Mr. Dunn's reputation for peacefulness?
Yes, very nice guy.
Never have I observed anything other than a very calm demeanor.
I've always thought he was a gentleman.
It's unclear if Dunn himself will take the stand. An attorney representing the Davis family believes he will testify.
He's the only one that can testify that there was a gun. He's got to put it there. The only one that can put it there. The only one that says he's...
Very nice guy? Really? Very nice guy? It's sickening. If you listen to the testimony, she said that when they found his body in the back of the truck, his body was going away from the door. So that means he was ducking. He wasn't pulling out no gun. And then, of course, they didn't find a weapon in the SUV. So my question is, how in the hell could this not be an open and shut case? But then at the same time, as an attorney, how can an attorney... I'm going to read a statement to you guys that his attorney says, like, how the hell does an attorney say things like this. Where's it at? This is like, it's ridiculous. It's like, and I get it, you know, but this lets you know, when you get attorneys to say stuff like this, that, you know, it's not about the law, it's about winning or losing. His attorney said this. In his closing argument, Stroller said, Stroller is Dunn's attorney, said the teens could have disposed of the weapon after they left the gas station. To illustrate his point, Stroller stood mute in front of the jury for 3 minutes, the time that Durango was gone before returning to the gas station to get help. Then it says Stroller, which is Dunn's attorney, criticized the investigators for failing to secure the entire gas station plaza as a crime scene or search for a weapon that night. They knew they messed up, Stroller said. Okay. No disrespect, Mr. Stroller, but I can guarantee you, if somebody just shot 10 bullets into your vehicle and you look in the back and one of your buddies is dead, nobody's pulling off from the crime scene, hide a gun, and then come right back and park at the same location. Okay? But this is the part that pisses me off. When it goes back to hip-hop, they want to blame everything on hip-hop. They want to call, and I'm telling everybody now, right now, excuse me for the word I'm about to say, but the new word that white folks are saying publicly for the word nigger, when they're calling you a nigger, when they're calling me a nigger, when they're calling the president of the United States a nigger, they use the word thug. So listen, everybody, their new code word for calling us a nigger in public on television is the word thug. So censor that. So when you, every time you hear them say the word thug, I need for y'all to start censoring that, okay? And quit punking out and saying the N-word. No, you guys are calling us nigger when you say the word thug. And quit blaming everything on hip-hop. And there's a lot of us black folks out there who are spineless who want to sit there and blame everything on hip-hop. Hip-hop did not kill Jordan Davis. Hip-hop did not kill Trayvon Martin. Want me to tell you who killed Jordan Davis and Trayvon Martin? Racism, white men in this country. Okay? Now check this out. Dunn's attorney also said the state had failed to prove its case, pointing to the lack of conclusive forensic evidence about where Davis was when he was shot. He was shot in the back of the truck. Okay? It's ridiculous. You know what? Once this dude gets convicted, oh, they will convict him. They better convict this guy. He's looking at 20 years life. He needs to get life. He should have got the death penalty. And then you know what? I'm not even a big fan of the death penalty. But this dude right here, he needs to get the death penalty. So, I found my clip. I want you guys to hear the gunshots. This is a live footage from the video surveillance camera at the convenience store that night where Michael Dunn decided he wants to become Billy Badass and shoot up a car full of black teenage boys.
Caught on surveillance video at a Jacksonville gas station. 47-year-old software developer Michael Dunn, who is charged with first-degree murder and 3 counts of attempted murder, is claiming self-defense. Dunn told police during an interrogation that he asked Davis and the other teens in an SUV parked next to him to turn down the music. He said at first they complied, then he says he heard threats.
The guy that was in the back is getting really agitated. And my window's up. I can't hear everything he's saying, but, you know, there's a lot of him and that, and that and then the music comes back on.
Two sides in court today telling very different stories about what happened on November 23rd, 2012.
And they'll tell you about the interaction between Jordan Davis and the defendant. That Jordan Davis was upset, no doubt. He was cussing, no doubt. He raised his voice. But he never threatened the defendant. He disrespected. Jordan Davis threatened Michael Dunn. You're dead. This is going down now. With a shotgun barrel sticking out of the window. Or a lead pipe. Whatever it was, is a deadly weapon.
Dunn told investigators he saw a weapon pointed at him. Fear for safety, grabbed his gun and fired.
We had shots fired in the parking lot. The person firing has left.
Police say they never found a gun in the teen's red Dodge Durango.
The only thing he had on his person was a cell phone and a pocket knife. And both of those things were in his pockets when he was shot and killed.
At the crux of the case, why didn't Dunn just drive off?
He just had somebody threaten his life. Display a weapon, try to exit a vehicle and say, this is going down now. And for the first time in his life, he has to use a firearm to defend himself.
So, Anderson, one big thing that continues to come up in court is the fact that Dunn left the scene never calling 911. It was detectives who were able to talk to witnesses and found the license plate, and that's ultimately how they tracked him down. But, Anderson, you can imagine both sides of the aisle definitely focusing on that element.
Sometimes you gotta laugh to not cry. This dude felt like he was being threatened. So he had to bust off 10 shots. Did you guys hear the shooting at the beginning of that clip? Pow, 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 pow. Intentionally shooting into the car, the SUV, to kill 4. Unfortunately, we lost 1, but he really tried to kill all 4 young brothers. It's open season on young black men. So, we know what we have to do, people. Like I tell you guys all the time here on Yizer, our social network, Yizer.com, and Yizer Radio, we're going to talk about the problem, but we have to move forward, people. We have to stop this stuff. And you know what? I would like to talk to my community right now. Stop getting on TV, crying the blues, talking about we have to appeal and get rid of Stand Your Ground law. See, what's going to stop the Stand Your Ground law? What's going to get rid of Stand Your Ground law is when we start shooting and killing little white teenage boys. Well, see, when little white teenage boys start coming up getting shot by brown and black people, and then we get up there and go, oh, we shot him because he had his country music up too loud, and I felt threatened. I felt threatened. Oh, you could best believe that law will get changed, you know. And this is what's going on in America. Just like the basketball player, I know this is a little side note, but just like the basketball player over Oklahoma State that got suspended for playing basketball because he went out to the audience in a stand, another racist white man says, "Go back to Africa, nigger." Or let me rephrase that: "Go back to Africa, thug." Yes, I want you guys to hear this word: thug, thug, thug. Thug, thug, thug. Every time you hear them say it on TV, they call you a nigger. I'm taking a break. I'll be back in a sec. You listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com.
I want you, I want you, I want you, I want you, I like to introduce myself. My name is. Thinking I can have a million girls and still get hurt.
crazy. On the phone saying I love her, but in the bathroom there's another. Hoping I'll stay undiscovered, like I'm undercover brother. Hardly acting like I just met her. Forever, deal with the facts that did you wrong forever. Deal with the facts that could've loved you better. Cause I was out here living reckless. The girls in order like a checklist. Kept a cupid up for breakfast, but none lived up to her confession. My appetite was so insatiable. Thinking, yeah. Checking by questions and answers, yeah. Got my studies, different chances, yeah. But the teens and the ammas, yeah. Kept on coming back like cancer. So she told you it was a common sin. And I'm singing watch like a compliment. Cause I must be crazy.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
Waking nightmares, how Michael Dunn described the night following the fatal shooting triggered by loud music here in Jacksonville. Dead is 17-year-old Jordan Davis. Dunn testified and explained to the jury the teen's words that he felt were threatening. He said that Davis said, "This is going down," and that ended in gunfire. Dunn said after asking the teens to turn down the music politely, it was turned down, then up. That's when he said a verbal confrontation ended, with him seeing a shotgun in the rear window.
He slammed something against the door and said, yeah, I'm going to kill you. Because when I asked him, are you talking about me, he was just saying I should kill that MF-er.
Police never found a weapon. Dunn said he kept firing at the SUV, 10 shots altogether, because he felt the teens were still a threat. Dunn explained why he never called 911.
You're right, it sounds crazy, and I couldn't tell you what I was thinking when all this happened. I can just tell you that I didn't do it. And if you had told me that if this happened to you, you wouldn't call the police, I wouldn't believe you.
Prosecutors hammered home the point that Davis, the teenager, was fatally shot while in the SUV. Dunn testified that the teen was out of the car when he fired his weapon. Now it's up to a jury to sort out here who is the victim, Michael Dunn or Jordan Davis.
You hear that little, ooh, I almost said the B word. You hear that little punk talking. He sounds like a little, ooh, God, this is just making me angry. People, please listen to understand me. Your man Dwayne does not have any hate in his heart for no one at all. No person, no race, no gender. I have no hate for anyone, but what I do hate, I have a hatred for ignorance, and I have a hatred for, you know, systems, and I have a hatred for racism. I just do. So it's just like, for this guy to just sit up there and just think having a little argument with some teenage boys, he needs to have deadly force. And then the other crazy part about it, my people, hip-hop is on trial here too, because they keep talking about thug music. They had that loud thug music, you know. And you know, I'm gonna check out this. I watched, because all day today has been, you know, I've been iced in, so I've been indoors all day. So I actually watched the trial today. Then I've been reading a lot of clips. Then I realized that the whole time Michael Dunn talks about Jordan Davis or the other of three victims, he never addresses them by their name. In fact, he rarely calls them by their name, you know. He always mentioned them as they were thugs and gangsters or his attackers. They didn't attack him. People all the time get into arguments. I get in arguments all the time with people, but I've never decided I'm going to go pull out a gun and shoot 10 shots to kill somebody, you know. And the jury, now check this out. This jury, I pray that they get this right. But I always wonder, like, how do they go about picking juries in Florida? Because here we go here. This is the makeup of the jury. We have 8 whites, 2 blacks, 1 Asian, 1 Hispanic, okay? The 3 blacks are 3 black females, no black males. So my first thing is, why is there never any black men on any of these trials when they killing young African-American men? Okay? And then my next thing is, why do these juries are always so out of balance like that? Like, how do you manage to get 8 whites on the jury? You know, it's like, even if they cut it down to 6 whites, a couple more Hispanics, a couple more Asians, it's like, I mean, it's like, who picks these juries? It's like, and I always ask the question about the defense. Like, how does the defense even allow this to happen? You know? But this is the other crazy part. Today, when Michael Dunn was on trial, he tried to break out on some old crocodile tears. But this is the extra crazy part. He breaks out crying, you know? And you think it to yourself, like, okay, he got to feel some remorse for killing this young African-American boy. Because he's not a man. He's only 17. These are kids. These are children. He's crying on the stand for Charlie. Charlie. Charlie is not his son. Charlie is a freaking fracking dog. A dog. A dog. A four-legged animal that licks his own ass. A dog. This man is on trial crying over a freaking dog, but he didn't cold murdered a young black man. That's what I don't understand. That's why I don't get it. It's like, where's the humanity? It's like, how do people like this man right here, and I'm not putting everybody in the same category, but how does this man of this culture have more love for a dog, but he's okay to go and pump 10 bullets into a SUV full of young African-American men? Want me to tell you why? Because they have no value on the black life. There's no value, especially for a black male in this country. There's no value of our life here. And that's why I'm going to give out and talk directly to my community after I come back from this break. Because this man, once again, is on TV today in court crying over a dog by the name of Charlie. He wanted to get back to the hotel after he done shot up somebody's truck over an argument over music, because they wouldn't turn the music down. Sometimes you choose your battles. Like I've been told all the time, Dwayne, you choose your battles. So think about it. If he didn't feel threatened, you're like, okay, they don't want to turn the music down. Guess what? Mind your business. Get in your car and you leave. If you felt that disturbed by the situation, get in your car, pick up your phone, call the police, and let the police handle it. You don't beat it. You're not the police. And we got to cut these George Zimmerman wannabes in this freaking country. We have to figure out a way to stop allowing these guys to run around, because they run around, I'm telling you guys, open season on young African-American males. And my people, quit blaming the Sting the Ground law. What we need to do, like I told you, that law will get changed as soon as somebody starts shooting up and killing the little teenage white boys. Trust and believe, that law will be changed and appealed so damn quick. you'll forget that it was ever on the books. This is your man Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazaRadio.com. I'm gonna take a break. When I get back, we're gonna close out a little bit. But we gotta get into the solution so we can stop all these George Zimmerman wannabe cases and this Michael Dunn cases. But also, before I take this break, please, jury, do the right thing. Do the right thing, please. Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com. What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazaRadio.com. Today, live, February 12, 2014, broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia. And tonight, we are talking about the death and the murder of Jordan Davis, young African-American brother down in Florida, and his killer, Michael Dunn, on trial. Okay, when I started my show off, and like I said, I tell you guys all the time, I'm not here to bash white people. I'm not here to act like I'm a racist or nothing. I'm just stating the obvious. And unfortunately, a lot of times the obvious comes from my white brothers and sisters, okay? But I'm just showing you the arrogance in this country. Like I told you, this dude is so arrogant. People like the George Zimmerman's of the world, and there's a whole lot more of them that's just arrogant. And they think that they can talk to us African-Americans like we're ish, like we're dumbasses and like we ain't ish, okay? Because this man, like I just told you guys, he had showed no mercy or no remorse while he's been on trial. Only time this man broke a tear is when he talked about his dog, Charlie, worrying about where Charlie's going to live once this man goes to prison. I hope he goes to prison. They have to send this man to prison, okay? the jury's already out that him and his woman is over, because his woman, like, I don't recollect of him talking about he saw a gun, so she already threw him under the bus. I'm glad that she did that. But I'm just getting to the arrogance. This is the problem that we have in America. I'm going to play a clip from, I believe it's like MichaelDunn.com. He has a website. He tried to do the George Zimmerman thing or whatever, right? But listen to the arrogance and how he reads this letter, or this letter that he wrote to the black community.
JusticeForDunn.com, the site's homepage boasts a picture of Michael Dunn, clean-shaven and smiling. It claims to contain accurate information fighting back against inaccurate media reports.
I was fighting for my life.
Tuesday on the stand, during 4 hours of testimony, jurors heard Dunn's version of events. FCN legal analyst A. Wellington Barlow says his testimony was necessary.
He had to take the stand because, unlike the Zimmerman case, for instance, Zimmerman's version was out there in the media, turned over and over and over again, but Michael Dunn's wasn't.
Site includes rebuttals to media reports. There's also a section called Michael's Written Comments, where he speaks directly to the Jacksonville community, saying this. Quote, I am sorry for the tragic outcome of that night in Jacksonville and the loss of Davis' son, but I would offer that rather than rail against the stand your ground laws, people take a look at the violence and lifestyle that the gangster rap music and the thug life promote. The jails are chock full of young black men, and so are the cemeteries. Gun laws have nothing to do with it. He goes on to say the black community needs to do a better job of selling worthwhile role models. Most importantly, young men need to know that they are not just risking jail time when they threaten the lives of others. They're risking their very own lives.
Unfortunately, it's another situation that's going to polarize the community. You're going to have some people on his side no matter what he did or didn't do, and some people against him no matter what he did or didn't do. And that's not good for us. It's really not.
My God. Did you hear that, Ish? This dude has the audacity to say some crap like that. Rap music, hip-hop, did not create racism. Rap music, hip-hop, did not create violence in a country that was built on violence. Rap music, hip-hop, did not kill Jordan Davis or Trayvon Martin. Racist, ignorant men like Michael Dunn and George Zimmerman, and these laws and the arrogance of some of the people in this country is what killed Michael Dunn and Trayvon Martin. I have a message for Mr. Dunn. Let me explain something to you. One, you have no place to give any advice to nobody in the African-American community. Your best bet is to keep your mouth shut. And I pray that when they convict you, that you survive. Because you're a devil. You're an evil man. You're a child killer. Okay? I don't give a damn if they called you every cuss word in the book. You don't pull out no gun and pump 10 bullets into a car full of teenage boys. Man, I hope justice is served tomorrow. But anyway, I'm done talking about Michael Dunn. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Jordan Davis, his parents, everybody here at Yizer. Our prayers go out to you. Okay, we have 5 minutes left. Solutions. Solution number one we need to do in our community. If you are eligible and don't have any felonies, get a gun permit. We need to start buying guns. And I'm not talking about we're going out killing nobody, but we do have to have the, we do have the right to defend ourselves. In our community, when we vote, do not vote against the Stand Your Ground law, because the Stand Your Ground law is not killing our young black men. Okay? Next thing, my young black teenage brothers out there, I like you guys standing up. You stand up for yourself, but at the same time, you also got to start carrying yourself as gentlemen. Like I tell you guys all the time, quit giving them ammo. There should never be a case where the defense of a white defendant, his defense is they were thugs and gangsters. Okay, we got to stop giving them the ammo. We know what we have to do, people. It starts at home. It starts in our community. We love all of our young teenage boys and girls out there, but we have to move forward. Let's pull our pants up. Let's carry ourselves in America. But don't get soft. Do not become spineless, whatever you do. Like the young brother, Oklahoma State, I respect the fact that he stood up for his place. I respect the fact that Jordan Davis stood up for himself. But at the same time, we got to start giving them ammo to use a defense against us for being African-Americans or using rap music as a scapegoat. You don't hear no other culture where they, you know, use terms like that against their teenage boys when somebody murdered them. That's not a defense. Oh, it's okay to kill a black kid because he listened to rap music? Come on. So let's move forward and let's pray. In the next couple of days, justice will be served. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. I'm closing out tonight. I will see you guys tomorrow. Tomorrow night is the actual broadcast of Moving Forward. And tonight's topic, we're going to continue on with our Black History Report. And tomorrow we are going to be talking about African Americans in politics. So I'm closing the show out tonight with an old school hip hop jam. I will see you guys tomorrow. Remember, knowledge is not power. Knowledge is not power. The use of knowledge is power. Please log on to yizzer.com. That's YIZZO card. And also support our sponsor, damselinstress.com. If you have any home or business services you need in Indianapolis or Atlanta, Georgia, that is damselinstress.com. That's D-A-M-S-E-L, the letter N, and D-I-S-T-R-E-S-S. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. I'm out. Peace.
A ballad behind bars, or you could say real rock from the rock. An unusual musical happening in a most unusual place. The state prison.
I got a letter from the government the other day. And read it and said they were suckers. They wanted me for their army or whatever. Picture me giving a damn, I said never. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me and myself, because they never did. I wasn't with it, but just that very minute it occurred to me the suckers had authority. Cold sweating as I dwell in my cell. How long has it been they got me sitting in a state pen? I gotta get out, but that thought was thought before. I contemplated a plan on the cell floor. I'm not a fugitive on the run. Brother like me begun to be another one. Public enemy serving time, they drew the line, y'all. They criticized me for some crime. Nevertheless, they could not understand that I'm a black man and I can never be a veteran. On the street, the situation's unreal. I got a raw deal, so I'm looking for the steal.
Hey, yo, Chuck, are you serious? You in the justice, man?
Word them up. I'm looking for that steal.
Yo, man, we gonna break you out of there, man. We ain't gonna like that, man.
Don't you know they got me rotten in the time that I'm serving? Telling you what happened the same time they're sewing. Four of us packed in a cell like slaves. Oh, well, the same motherfucker got us living in his hell. You have to realize what is the form of slavery organized under a swarm of devils. Straight up, word them up on the level. The reasons are several, most of them federal.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.